Welcome to Cinema Savants, your weekly dose of movie news, movie reviews, and the occasional rumor, with your hosts, Todd Vandenberg and Rob Steele.
And coming up in this week's show, a lot of news, because it's the end of the year and we haven't actually done news in a couple weeks, unless you want to count Star Wars, which we'll get to momentarily and very briefly, and then move on, because we've got to get to our picks for the best of 2017, because the year is thankfully coming to an end. I think it's been kind of a crap year. The rest of the people on this show, and yes, I said people, plural, it's not just Todd. We have guests. And that's plural, too. Who knew? Lee Vowell has rejoined us, and from the Great White North, or close enough to the Great White North, somewhat ironically even, someone found Ted Hicks, who blew up my phone yesterday while I was trying to drive, saying, can I be on the show? Can I be on the show? Yes, Ted, you can be on the show. Welcome.
Yay! Thank you. Thank you so much.
I just want to add that in the spirit of our great president, we made special accommodations for a black person, which is why the show is being recorded today instead of tomorrow.
No.
Yeah.
That's when it's... So should I be holding up a Blacks for Cinema Savants?
only Ted has orange hair.
Ted is a global warming. That's what he is.
There you go.
Speaking of global warming, one of the hottest things right now is still Star Wars, which we're only going to talk about briefly because we beat the crap out of it last week, even though we like it. It was announced yesterday that due to Star Wars movie ticket sales and the bajillions of dollars in merchandise, Star Wars has now paid itself off from the Disney purchase.
Wow.
With just three movies and... what is it, 7 trillion action figures they've released? Is that something like that? It's already, this weekend, it is supposed to pass Beauty and the Beast as the top grossing movie in the States, and $1 billion globally.
Wow.
Which ain't bad.
That's a lot of money.
For a financially poorly performing film, according to Forbes.
What number are they aiming for this week? Or this for this movie, is it $2 billion?
Three? No.
Oh, okay.
1.5.
All right.
We'll go with 1.5. and that's all we're going to do with Star Wars for now until someone mentions it on their best of list. It's still the Christmas season, technically. And we've had this debate for a while now. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie? And this week, screenwriter Stephen E. D'Souza, who wrote Die Hard, said, it's a movie about love, devotion, sacrifice, generosity, and resisting evil. How could it not be a Christmas movie? Plus, a woman about to give birth features prominently. It's a Christmas movie, damn it. Do you guys, just to kill this argument once and for all, do you agree it's a Christmas movie?
Is it about the baby of the woman about to get birth? No, it is not about the baby. Therefore, fine, it's a Christmas movie.
I didn't see any myrrh. Other than that.
I think it took place at Christmas, and you can watch it at Christmas, but it's not a movie I would sit around with the family and say, let's watch a Christmas movie and have it be Die Hard. It's a great film, but it's not a Christmas movie. It's not about Christmas. It just takes place at Christmas.
Ted?
Die Hard 4, I thought was more of a Christmas movie than Die Hard, the original. And the guy D'Souza, is he the same guy who's always on Instagram putting up pictures of Obama, getting all those different lines? Or is that someone else?
Yeah, that's him.
Okay.
Absolutely lost me on that because I don't pay much attention to Twitter because there's this Oompa Loompa that seems to have taken it over. But speaking of old guys, have you seen where Ian McKellen wants to be Gandalf again for the Amazon version of Lord of the Rings? And
I have.
How old is he? He's, what, 78? Do you think he's going to be around for all of it?
Is that Magneto? Is that Magneto?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
He shouldn't have been.
It's also Sherlock Holmes.
Ian McKellen. No one should have been Magneto. That Magneto was an anniversary villain. He wasn't in every freaking story the X-Men had.
Returning to one of Rob's favorite themes. Oh, how I loathe the X-Men films. Anyway, that gives me another reason to watch it. So, yeah, I'm happy if he does that. If Amazon is smart enough to say do that. Because if it doesn't have some tie-in to the Lord of the Rings main story, right. You know, I don't really want to watch 27 episodes of Tom Bombadil. So,
is it going to be a prequel, or is it?
They said it's supposed to be focusing on unexplored stories from Middle Earth. So there's not even we don't even know if Gandalf is going to be in it.
Okay,
but if he is,
I'll roll with it.
I don't really know what Lord of the Rings is, to be honest. Is that one of the Hallmark Christmas movies? Is that a marriage proposal thing?
Is it? Yes.
It's about older homosexuals, I'm assuming, because Ian McKellen. McKellen's a great actor, though. I'd watch him. If he wants to be Gandalf, why not? I mean, he's a fantastic actor. I don't think I've ever seen anything that he's been in that I didn't like him in it.
Is Professor X going to show up somewhere?
Yeah, he'll be having the ring is actually going to be one of the wheels on his chair.
What about Voldemort? Is Voldemort also in this as well? It's just a whole collaboration of different things. Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, kind of like Bright, except maybe to be good.
Oh, I didn't even watch that. Was that terrible?
No, it's not terrible. It's okay. But for all the hype, it should have been better than okay. It's so
moderately neato.
Yeah.
Okay.
And yes, I am going through these news stories very quickly. Speaking of squishing all this stuff together, since we last did a news show, Disney bought Fox.
Wow.
Who knew? It's only been rumored since, January? Now, something that came out of this was everyone was really happy that the X-Men are finally going back to Marvel, which I think is great. But there is a misconception that the Fantastic Four are also going back. And this was kind of hidden in there. They're not.
What do you mean?
Fox had the distribution rights to the Fantastic Four movies. But Constantin, and I'm going to pronounce that because they don't have an E on the end, Constantin Films own the production rights. So they're the ones that made the crap movies that we've kind of had to sit through.
Oh, man.
There is no word yet on whether they're going to be selling it back to Disney, but I think everyone wants them to.
Yeah.
Or am I wrong? Do you want another constant 10? And I think 10 is appropriate for this Fantastic Four film?
No way.
No, but I'm sure they'll sell off the rights. I guess for one thing, Disney just has to flex a very tiny muscle in their pinky and say, well, good luck. Good luck getting distribution.
Yeah. I don't think anyone would touch it. So, much in the same way, a lot of people have said they're not going to touch the Justice League movie.
Ugh.
Which, now see, there's going to be an argument forthcoming. Spoiler alert. A lot of people say that the movie is hideous and horrible, and it just passed the $600 million mark worldwide in... what, 4, maybe 5 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it's made that much money, can we still really consider it a flop?
Artistically, of course.
It was that bad.
No, I don't either. But I mean, I'm just saying, just because something makes a lot of money, just
doesn't
because
mean it's good.
Popular, right. Like, look at who the president of the United States is.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, so...
Well, but if you equate that, he had $400 million and Hillary had $600 million and he still got to be president, so...
Yeah, but still, that's a lot of people like the orange sweet potato, who is not as smart as a sweet potato.
Sour potato.
Money doesn't equate to quality. I don't think Justice League is a bad movie. It's just... To me, it could have been a great movie, and it isn't. But I'll come back around to DC later on. But $600 million, a billion doesn't mean a thing as to whether it's good or not. It just means it was popular.
We still like the Star Wars movie.
Oh, yes, we do. It made a billion in 2 weeks.
Something like that.
I actually had to rewatch the Star Wars film this on Christmas Day, actually, because I felt like we hated it so much for some reason. And I had to remind myself, oh, it is a good film.
So, Lee, I want to jump into this with you because I asked my son yesterday.
Russell Wilson.
Can we go see The Last Jedi again? And he told me no. And I didn't know what to say. So we didn't go see it yesterday. I said, you don't want to see it again? Because I actually want to go see it again. And he didn't want to. So did your daughter not like it?
No, she liked it. In fact, actually rewatching the scene that we really, well, the one part where Luke has his haircut.
Yes.
Rewatching that, he actually makes a comment about Leia's hair.
He does.
I think they're aware that the hair is, it's not a mistake. They're aware. They did it purposely.
Yeah.
He also, when he's walking through the salt, you know, there's no red. I mean, everything in that scene, they are in control of. So I think the hair thing wasn't a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think the patch him through thing,
mm-hmm.
that it shouldn't have been in there, but I think that was supposed to augment the joke as far as, oh, pretending the guy can't hear me, you know, which is still a bad line, but at least it's understandable.
Or it could have been to point out that the guy was kind of incompetent, because he was. But still, I think a lot of things fell flat, but not nearly as many things as worked. Like the whole Luke sequence towards the end there, which is...
Oh, that was great.
That's one of the best things in Star Wars ever, I think. So, yeah, I liked it.
I loved it.
Where he matrixes just... under a lightsaber, and that's not a spoiler, it's in the trailer.
Yeah. That's not a bad moment either.
No.
That was great.
I hadn't planned on getting back to Star Wars yet, and I'm sure we will by the end of the show again, but that's a sequel. Wanted to get to a bunch of quick notes on reboots and remakes and rehashes that have popped up since we last did a show. Highlander and The Crow
really?
Are both being set up to film very early next year. Do we need either of them? And does Jason Momoa really look like The Crow to you?
No, and no.
He's going to be The Crow?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Which...
Nice critical comment.
Well, they've been talking about remaking The Crow for like, feels like 1,000 years. So hopefully we'll just do it and get it over with, and we won't have to talk about it anymore.
No, they're like, how many Crow movies are there already? I mean, there's
four
what,
that
five?
I know of.
Yeah, it's
two that I've seen.
They keep doing it.
Wait,
and that's just
Aquaman, The Walking Dead. No, not The Walking Dead. What's the other great movie? Game of Thrones. This guy's getting all the great acting jobs.
He's taking the jobs that The Rock doesn't want to bother with.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
another reboot and rehash that's coming out. On Maya Malik's birthday, they announced they're going to be rebooting Blossom. Please tell me that this is a joke. Someone tell me that this can't be a thing, because that doesn't need to be. Joey is in favor of it, but I don't think anyone else is.
Blossom.
I know everybody on that. Okay.
Unless it's Blossom from the Powerpuff Girls, I have zero interest in that. I mean, I know what you're talking about, but never watched it. Don't care to.
Was that PIX, WPIX from years ago? Did you guys have PIX?
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Well,
let's see. That's a New York station. We don't live there, so no. Funny enough, we watch the Mets on ESPN like everyone else.
But I'm from. Sorry.
Meaning when they're on, we don't watch.
Something like that. Yes.
Exactly.
Right.
It's or when they go to spring training in my home, I don't go.
But here's another New York story for you. They're remaking Mad About You with.
I thought you were going to say they're remaking New Helen York Stories. Sorry to interrupt, but you're like, here's another remake, New York Stories. Oh, that'd be awesome.
No, that would be awesome.
Hey, I'm in.
Mad. Okay, so
why?
Well, I mentioned they're remaking He-Man and the Masters of Johnson. No, Masters of the Universe. And we were wondering, will they be remaking She-Ra as well? And the answer is apparently yes. Netflix is doing it with DreamWorks.
Wow.
It'll be interesting.
Is that required? I don't know. I don't know.
No.
With He-Man.
None of it's required, but yeah, you know, why not?
Here's a re-release for you that I'm kind of interested in seeing the quality of this. Dark Crystal is coming back to theaters in February, and it's been remastered as a 4K movie.
Now, that's pretty cool.
This is in prep for the 10-episode Netflix miniseries that's coming later in the year.
Mm.
Would you guys take your kids to go see Dark Crystal?
I've never even heard of Dark Crystal.
How old are the kids? Ted.
Seriously?
I've never even heard of Dark Crystal.
Okay, this needs to be fixed. Someone send him a DVD.
Hold on. I'm Googling it right now.
Ted, you need to
I think you've probably heard of it. Maybe you're just not aware of it.
Jim Henson movie with a little elf. A gelfling. See, I've watched this movie.
While Ted is looking that up, I just want to throw out that they're also talking about relaunching the Abbott and Costello series with John Hader as Abbott and Zach Galifianakis as Costello.
Seriously?
No, that's a total lie, but it's just why not at this point, right?
It wouldn't have surprised me, and yet.
No, it wouldn't, because, you know, with everything else.
I'm sorry. I've seen it. I'm like, huh?
Made a huge impact on Ted's life. What? Yes. I've never heard of that. Oh, wait, I did see that. Well, Ted, are you on board for the remake of the film that you totally forgot?
Yes, sir.
Not a remake, the 4K update, sorry.
Totally on board, and I'm willing to spend my matinee money to do what I need to do.
You got $6. An elf that looks like Geddy Lee somewhere in the mid-70s. Which he does. It's not my fault. I'm not the one who made the Muppet.
I'm thinking the Dark Crystal with a Rush soundtrack would be interesting.
That would be cool. I'd go see that just for the soundtrack, but that's, you know, me.
Well, of the four of us here, Rob, you're the one who could make that happen. So, you know,
I'll see what I can do.
Wow.
Speaking of only more in of a kind of way, did you guys see the Ocean's 8 trailer?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Did you just kind of look at it and go,
No, I definitely didn't look at it and say, because it had several attractive women in it. But
that's a different kind. That's a mmm.
Yeah.
He says misogynist.
I mean,
yes.
Thank you, Mr. Weinstein.
Yeah, it's obvious that it's like Ghostbusters with women. And nothing wrong with that. It was just that was horrible. And
really?
I mean, I might go see it if it's well written. I mean, all those actresses are good actresses, so it's not like fluff. So, I might go see it.
I would much rather have seen them make a movie with the same storyline, but don't call it Ocean's 8.
It's just a
remake of something they've already done. And Ocean's 11 plus boobs, you know, reduces it to 8. What? No. It's kind of like the women's pay scale thing.
Is they going to say we're less?
Wouldn't that be Ocean's 22? Or am I missing something?
That would have made more sense.
Well, it's 8 like because of the...
I know. Actually, you know, you touched on Ghostbusters and the remake, and you're right. I totally agree with you 100% on that, Lee. The same thing. Well, with anything. If the script sucks, Ghostbusters relaunch, doesn't matter who's in it. So it's kind of scary that the trailer – I have not seen the trailer, but apparently the trailer is not exactly
it's not
wonderful.
Doing as well as the Avengers did.
And, well, yeah. Anyway, if the trailer doesn't really – do its job, it makes you wonder, is there anything in the movie that is worth putting in for 2 minutes? That's kind of sad.
And there's other news from Ocean's 8, actually. Because of all these sexual allegations against Matt Damon, there is now multiple petitions to have him cut out of the film entirely.
Wait, he's in Ocean's 8?
As a cameo.
Yeah.
He supposedly got almost 2 minutes of screen time or something like that, and now they want him cut out. Is that... Do we need to? Are we going to notice?
I don't know. I mean, maybe his cameo actually has some kind of big point to the plot. I don't know. But you're cutting him.
You're replacing him with Mark Wahlberg. No one will ever notice.
You're cutting him out because of the allegations. Should we start doing that? Somebody's getting accused of something and then cutting him out because of the accusations.
So you mean, are we talking about no due process for anyone? We could just say tomorrow, Todd, you fondled someone, and next thing you know, Todd, you lose all your sponsors?
Oh, he's president of the United States.
You can say that right now.
Exactly.
Unless you're president.
Go ahead and say it right now. I mean, you know, but there needs to be some checks and balances at some point for this, as opposed to, oh, you did this. I say you did this a long time ago, and then boom, you're gone. And again, when there are dozens of allegations, Mr. President,
smoke this fire.
Yeah, but when it's getting to the point in a few instances where, okay, let's slow down a bit before we pass judgment. Seemingly instantaneously on this.
I mean, it's like when we went to that game a few years ago and I grabbed Lee by his boob, he didn't have an issue back then.
Oh, hell no, I loved it.
Right.
Why would I complain? I got in 6 years.
But 2 or 3 years later, now there's a problem with it.
Oh, because you're black.
Okay.
Oh,
I can go with that.
I don't know where the show's going anymore.
this just went off the rails.
It's where the show always goes. I'm shocked it took this long. Anyway.
Yeah, pretty much. So speaking of reboots and remakes and rehashes, Ted, I heard you went to go see Jumanji.
Oh, had a great time. I was expecting,
Jumanji?
Something close to Jumanji.
Look, it's Robin Williams.
And no. I could not find Robin Williams. I did find Kevin Hart. He was not funny. He's probably the most not funniest comedian who keeps getting all these roles. The Rock was The Rock. You know, he walked around with he's showing that tattoo every movie. And I'm like, oh, my God, I've seen this before. My son liked it. I fell asleep on half of it.
Ouch.
It's not
Blade Runner. Come on.
No, it's not Blade Runner. And it was less than 2 hours. But great for kids. For the adults that love the original Jumanji, you know, everything is modernized nowadays. Would I go see it? I thought it was a great movie for kids. The theater was packed.
It was opening weekend, though.
Yeah, it was opening weekend. It was. I don't know. Would I go see the sequel, which I know they're setting it up already because it's The Rock? No, I wouldn't. Unless major changes are done. That's it. So did I like the movie? I think it was great. I thought it was great. I'm sorry.
Just because there's a Doctor Who person in it doesn't mean you have to treat it like Star Wars. It's okay.
I love Jack Black. I just thought... This is going to sound kind of raw on this show. Kevin Hart was inappropriate for a PG or PG-13 movie. I'll just leave it at that.
Could you explain that a little bit? Because I thought, there's really no movies that to take Fiona to, and I don't think she'll even like that. But what do you, as a parent, what do you mean by that?
Well, there was multiple penis references in there. There was multiple where, you know, Kevin Hart is about to drop an F-bomb and he just stops short of it. You know, he's doing Kevin Hart stuff in his, you know, R-rated movies and a kiddie movie. And I'm like, yo, he's not funny. This is not funny at all. And I'm looking around the theater and I'm like, do I feel like a douchebag? Do I feel like the dad that took his kid to go see Deadpool? No, I don't. But it was just, it really wasn't good.
Which, by the way.
But it's worth $6.
Well, coffee is worth $6 these days. By the way, Lee, there's your recommendation for Fiona, Deadpool. Perfect. So.
Yeah. That's what we watched last night, actually.
So. Nice.
No, I'm just kidding.
Child service.
Lee, you sent an email that said you watched a lot of movies. You want to jump in with a review of something you watched?
Yeah. I mean, it's actually on my top five list, but yeah, I thought I don't know if you guys have seen Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, but it's have you? Okay, so you can help me out with this, but I thought the great thing about the film was, this is going to sound silly, but the great thing about the film was just the acting, and I thought Sam Rockwell deserves Best Supporting Actor for it. Frances McDormand obviously deserves a Leading Actress nomination. And I, you know, to me, I wouldn't see Woody Harrelson's more of a supporting actor because it's really just Frances McDormand's film,
right?
But I could see both those guys being nominated for Best Supporting Actor. The acting, you know, those three actors are probably going to perform almost great anytime they're on film. But I thought the way they worked with each other is what separated the film to me. The storyline, basically, if people don't know, and you don't get to see a whole lot of this, but Frances McDormand's daughter a year before has been raped and brutally murdered, actually. But you don't see that. But basically, this is the aftermath, and she feels like the police have not really done their job to investigate what really happened, and they don't seem to care. So she's put up these three billboards near her home that are saying, why aren't the police doing more, basically. So it's really well done. It's not about the billboards. It's about Frances McDormand and her interaction with Harrelson and Rockwell. And the greatest thing about the film to me, Todd, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, there it shows the humanity of each character because none of them are perfect and none of them are awful either. And I thought that was the best thing about the film.
I think you're 100% right on everything except I hope Woody Harrelson is not nominated, because that would mean that he and Rockwell would cancel each other out. And not that he doesn't deserve it, but I think Rockwell probably is the one who I would nominate, but they're both amazing. Which is, on a side note, when did Woody Harrelson become such a great – I mean, seriously, he is an amazing freaking actor. I'm going to mention a movie later on that he was in this year too, which is incredible. But yeah, to me, it's also the fact that – you know, we were talking about writing before. Is these characters, all these three main characters, go on such interesting – emotional and intellectual journeys, and in some cases it's growth, maybe it's not, but I mean, you know, if characters don't change, you know, okay, it's kind of static, it's kind of boring, and it's just an incredible journey. It's absolutely a great movie. It's not on my top 10, but it is terrific. And offhand, I can't think of someone who deserves the Best Actress more than McDormand, and I can't think of someone who deserves Best Supporting Actor more than Rockwell, which, by the way, if they ever get around to doing a biopic of George W., you got your lead actor right there. There is a scene there. He looks exactly like him. He's got that same stupid look on his face.
One other thing I should throw out that, and I cannot remember, and he's also a great actor. The guy that wants to date her, and they go out on one date. What is his name? He's in Game of Thrones.
Jason Momoa, exactly.
No, he's fantastic, much smaller role, but he's also fantastic. And I feel bad because I should definitely know his name. And we all know the actor too. He's an elf, for instance, but he's in Game of Thrones. He's a main character of Game of Thrones.
Peter Dinklage?
Yes.
There you are, Peter Dinklage.
Much smaller role, a lot less screen time, but he's also phenomenal in the film, like he almost always is as well.
He is.
Caleb Landry Jones.
Hmm?
I'm going through the list characters.
It's Landry Jones. Yeah, Peter Dinklage and even his character has, you know, first it's kind of like he's just a side character, he's not that important, but he has a big, important scene. Not for the plot, but just like you said, Lee, for the humanity of the characters. It's just awesome movie.
Speaking of awesome movies, I heard you went to go see The Shape of Water.
Ooh.
Does that qualify?
I did go see The Shape of Water. It took me... it's a very strange movie. It's Guillermo del Toro, which kind of says, okay, there's going to be something kind of weird about this movie anyway. It took me about a week to decide if I mean, it's a great movie. It is on my somewhere on my list, but I'll just say it's the thing that kind of had me really wondering about what I really thought about it is it's basically it's the Beauty and the Beast story, right? But it's R-rated. And that includes everything that that would entail. So people love the romance of Beauty and the Beast. Oh, it's so sweet and romantic. But if the Beast and Beauty start doing it, are you still going to have the same reaction? Are you still going to think about it that way? And it really took me a while to wrap my head around that. And then I realized, oh, that's exactly the point. He's doing the Beauty and the Beast tale, roughly, just that very basic premise. With a fish, except he's carrying it to the actual what would really happen. Yeah, so you have to consider that. Are you ready for this movie that, is this about bestiality or not? I'm not really sure, but to me it's not. But man, this movie is beautiful. The acting is tremendous. He really likes, Del Toro really loves that Abe Sapien character, apparently, because man, he basically eats Abe Sapien again. Kind of Abe Sapien crossed with the creature of the Black Lagoon. But it's beautiful. There's an awesome fantasy sequence. Absolutely. It looks great. It tells a great story. It's very simple. It's a very simple story, but it's done perfectly. And yeah, I think it's a great movie.
Did you hear the story about how Del Toro got around to doing, let's see, how did he phrase this? The Fishman's Derriere.
I've heard something about how important it was to him.
It was very important. He said that he took it to his household. Let's see, where's the quote here? Every female in the Del Toro household was crucial. Too much derriere, not enough derriere. The shoulders are not beautiful enough. The butt we show abundantly in the movie. It was very delicate sculptural. It was a very delicate sculpture process because it always had to be run by the women in my house.
Well, I'll just say that Doug Jones is looking mighty fine in this film. Okay. So, Doug Jones, the person that you almost never actually see in movies, that he's in movies all constantly. So, Sally Hawkins is the lead, and Octavia Spencer is her best friend. Michael Shannon is once again not exactly a nice person, but everybody is excellent in this movie. It's a great but odd movie. And definitely not one for the kids.
So, Todd,
our rating part.
Todd, yeah, matinee worthy or late night worthy?
I'd say it's late night worthy to me. I mean, even at New York crisis, even fighting through the snow and paying your, which by the way, if you don't have movie pass yet, Ted, I don't know why, especially up there, but.
Yeah, actually, if I could interject once for just. Todd mentioned MoviePass. I have a really good friend who has MoviePass. It's the deal on that is, and it sounds like I'm giving an ad, but the deal on that is amazing, actually, for what you get for a monthly subscription. It's almost like, is this really happening? What's the kickback on this? But it's, yeah, I mean, if anybody doesn't know what MoviePass is, it's phenomenal. And if you see a lot of films, you should definitely do it because it's going to save you a ton of money.
If you see two movies a month, you're going to save a ton of money, let alone any more. And I saw Last Jedi opening night with my movie pass. So no 3D movies, no IMAX movies, but that's okay. I don't really care about 3D movies. So other than that, not every theater chain takes it, but most of them do. Most of them do.
This part of Cinemas Fonts is brought to you by MoviePass, moviepass.com.
Best new product of 2017.
Who still doesn't see 3D movies?
They still make 3D movies?
Apparently a lot of people.
All right.
Like Last Jedi.
Yeah, first time I saw Last Jedi, it was 3D. It was just because that's the showing I went to. It didn't really do anything for me that it was 3D or not.
Yeah, that's the thing. 3D just doesn't add anything for me. To me, if you have to rely on 3D, you know, you're doing the old House of Wax trick. It's like, oh, look at the guy thinking the ping pong ball right at you. It's like, no, okay. If you can't write and direct a good film without resorting to tricks like that to hold your attention, then don't make the movie. Or make a Crow remake, whatever.
Okay.
So, I guess now it's time we get to our best of 2017 section of the show. Or there are a few worsts of 2017. that I want to throw out here. Like, Mark Wahlberg officially became the most overpaid actor of 2017.
Oh, God. Really?
Yeah. There's lots of numbers, and he didn't deserve them. Let's see. Geostorm was apparently supposed to be a big movie, and I have a theory about this. Because I found out that in this movie, Andy Garcia is the president. Now, he was also the mayor in Ghostbusters, so I'm thinking he just got promoted, and they're actually part of the same crappy universe that we should avoid. Anyone want to back me up on that?
Totally. I'm totally down with that theory.
Okay. That'll do. And we did want to talk about some of the movies that aren't quite on our, we all have a top five list, but there are some movies that didn't quite make the list. No, we're not going to mention the Emoji Movie other than just right there. We're not going to mention things like, the worst movie of the year financially. So there's a movie called 222, as in the time. It made $422, which I'm thinking even if you use your cell phone, it's going to cost more than that to make the movie. So, sorry. And when I went through the list of picking all the movies, I went through and looked at every movie released this year. And one that I missed was a movie called Is Genesis History? And I thought, Phil Collins left in 96, and apart from the reunion tours, there's not been any new material until I've realized, oh, wait, you're talking about the Bible.
I thought you were talking about when Peter Gabriel left. That's really when Genesis ended.
Yeah, and that's history.
I'll agree. So I had a few categories that I threw out to you, and we talked about kids' movies earlier with Jumanji and stuff. What is the best... We don't talk about that much. What is the best kids movie that came out this year?
Jumanji. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know if it's a kid movie, but I actually thought Beauty and the Beast did a good job. I thought they did a good job with what they did, and Fiona liked it. I mean, I only saw it once, and it's got Emma Watson in it, so I just usually watch those scenes. But I thought it was well made. Was it my favorite movie by any stretch of the imagination? No, but just because I'm not usually into those kind of films. But I thought it was well done. And I thought it was really good for kids and adults, just because it had a bit of something that both groups would love. It wasn't just like, hey, let's make this silly and we've got dancing teacups and all that jazz. It was actually well done.
My kids actually liked the My Little Pony movie, so that's what I'm picking, but that's because that's what my kids told me to pick.
Well, you gotta go with what the kids tell you. Having not seen Coco yet, just haven't gotten around to it, and from what a lot of the reviews and audience reviews are, it is an excellent movie. But since I haven't seen it, I can't go with that. I'm going to go with the Lego Batman movie. Although I agree, Beauty and the Beast, I thought they did a really, really good job on that. But I'll go with the Lego Batman movie. Obviously, it's a little bit different feel than Beauty and the Beast. And it's a little more, has a little more adult themes and adult jokes. Although, it's not like the Kevin Hart version. But I thought they did a lot of fun and poked a lot of fun at the franchises of superhero movies in general, not just Batman or DC.
It might not be a kids movie. I thought Spider-Man Homecoming kind of touched upon being a kid, maybe my childhood and my son's childhood, and I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this, but...
Ted, I always knew you had superpowers.
Oh, thank you. I kind of like that as a kid's movie. I don't know if I would have went to see Spider-Man by myself, but I can still get over because, I can't go to WWE anymore because my son doesn't want to go.
You've been banned, haven't you, Ted? You've been banned from ringside. Ted, I agree with you on Spider-Man Homecoming. It didn't make my top five, but I think it's a great movie. And I think it's a great movie because of exactly what you said. As much as I liked Toby in the first three Spider-Man films, this is the guy that nails. And this
first
is
two. Finally, you meant first two.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, he can't help the script. But yeah, Tom Holland nails it, and they nailed it because this is finally Peter Parker that was in the comics when he first came out. This is the nerdy high school kid who is too nervous to talk to girls. And I mean, they absolutely nailed it. The Spider-Man aspect is terrific, too. But yeah, this is the Spider-Man movie to me. It took him a while, and it took Marvel to step in and help Sony realize, okay, let's actually make him Spider-Man for a change. So, yeah, I love Spider-Man Homecoming, and exactly for the reason you said. And, yeah, it's a middle school, high school kids movie, but it's, yeah, in a lot of ways, it's a kids movie. I mean, all comic book movies should be, at some part in their heart, they should be kids movies, I think.
Right.
I'll agree. Moving on then, what would you say which movie had the best soundtrack? Because Todd and I have talked about two movies, Atomic Bond and Baby Driver, as both having incredible soundtracks.
To me, it's Baby Driver, and I'll talk more about Baby Driver, so I'm just going to leave it there.
Yeah, I was going to go with Atomic Blonde, just because Baby Driver's music fit wonderfully, and I think Atomic Blonde's did too. I just happen to prefer the genre Atomic Blonde went with.
Yeah, but so that's it's not the best use of a song in the movies. That comes up later for me too.
That's true.
Wow.
Lee, Ted?
Todd for the win.
I don't think I have an opinion on this one, to be honest. Pass. Okay.
You're no Betsy Pickle, sir. You're no Betsy Pickle. Only Lee gets that.
Okay, the Betsy Pickle movie. I can't speak English. The Betsy Pickle movie. That had the best soundtrack to me. Thank you, Todd.
Okay, how about what was the most disappointing movie of the year? Because there were a number of them that I saw this year and went, I'm looking forward to this. And then they gave me Ghost in the Shell. And I went, oh, no. Could you have screwed that up anymore?
Couldn't.
To me, that's my most disappointing film.
I'll go next here. To me, I saw some films that... Basically, I rewatch The Happening every year. and the reason I do this, I know it didn't come out this year, but I watch it just to remind myself when life can seem just so bleak that there can be things that life offers better than The Happening. A parent's death might be better than The Happening, actually. But it's just such a horrible, horrible film. I'm joking about my mom and dad, they're still alive, thank you. But The Happening is just horrible. It didn't come out this year, but I should rewatch it once a year, maybe at the beginning of each year, to be like, well, every movie I see the rest of the year, it's going to be better than this one that I just rewatched. So I'll go with The Happening that came out 1,000 years ago.
There are so many bad movies, but it's not the worst movie. This is the most disappointing movie. So I'm going to go with The Mummy. And it's not so much that the movie itself is disappointing, but this was supposed to relaunch the Universal horror franchise.
Oh, yeah, that was horrible, wasn't it?
And that's I grew up on the Universal horror films, not at the theaters, because I'm not quite that old, guys. Thank you very much. I'm not born in 1931. But, they really screwed the pooch on this one, because they had to make it a Tom Cruise vehicle instead of, maybe we should make a horror movie. Maybe you should have thought of that. So to me, that's the most disappointing movie, because basically it killed what could have been, a dozen great movies. So The Mummy hits my list for the most disappointing.
The Mummy has Tom Cruise in it? I don't know anything about the Mummy.
Are we only talking about movies for this year?
Yeah, this year, 2017.
Well, supposedly, I went off the rails on mine, so I apologize.
Yeah, well, where the hell Lee went, but...
Yeah.
The Happening is a classically disappointing movie for the ages, so I can totally see going with The Happening.
Can we go somewhere? I was going to say Heat. You remember Heat that came out in 1995?
Yeah, we can go there.
Okay.
You didn't like Heat?
I loved Heat. Mm. I was disappointed at the ending, because I wanted De Niro to get away. And he died.
And spoiler. Thanks, Ted. Spoiler.
I'm sorry.
He gets shot by Benny Blanco. It was really weird.
We have a 30-year moratorium on spoilers on this show.
And he died. And I watch it. I watched, it was so funny because Lee, you brought that up. I watch Heat every year. And I'm always hoping, you know, whether it's on Netflix or whatever, like maybe they remastered
it. They refilmed that new ending like they did with Clue.
Right. But the fact that he died, I didn't want him to die. I wanted him to live. I wanted him to run away in, you know, 30 seconds. You walk away from everything. There's no tangibles. I mean, it was like probably one of the greatest movies in my 20s that I enjoyed. But it had a disappointing ending.
It was a great movie. Lee, I just wanted to throw in about your comment about The Happening. You know, that's not a bad idea, actually, to watch. And please tell me you don't really watch it every year. But it's not a bad idea to watch that once a year because it would give so much appreciation to even other bad movies. Because, you know, I always think is like, at least it wasn't The Happening.
I watched What's Happening. Does that count?
No. Okay. Close, though. Close.
There's some entertainment value to What's Happening.
Oh, silly me.
With Roger and Rerun?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to put a bit of a restraint on this so Lee doesn't go wherever the hell Lee goes on this.
There's no restraining, Lee. Come on now. You know that.
It's worth a try.
Okay, number one is Raiders of the Lost Ark.
He likes to be restrained.
Did any of the movies leaving that absolutely alone, of the movies that came out in 2017, did any of them have like a line of the year?
Ooh.
You know, because there are some movies where you can just rattle off one line and everyone runs the entire movie through their head. Was there a line like that in any movie this year?
I don't know if I have an answer that's good enough for that question, because that's a great question.
That is a great question.
I have an answer.
Go for it, Ted.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
I have a bad feeling about this. That lasts for 8 films. So that's how good that is.
I guess it's a line. It's from The Big Sick, which is an excellent, excellent movie.
Great movie.
Great movie. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and spoil it if you haven't seen it, because it's one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life. And this includes your joke about Joseph, Lee, so that's how good it is. The character is Pakistani, and I've been just thinking about the damn thing. And Ray Romano plays the father of his maybe girlfriend, maybe not girlfriend. And he goes, and so they're kind of getting to know each other. So he says, so 9/11, what about that? You know, because, of course, I'll ask a brown person, what about 9/11? And his response is, it was a tragedy. I mean, we lost 19 of our best guys.
Oh,
like, oh my God. That is oh, it's just
absolutely unexpected.
Yes. And it's wow. and of course he just looks at him like, and he goes, no, I'm kidding. And it's like,
kidding.
That is like the best. We shouldn't even have 9/11 jokes, obviously, even now. And for that, it's like, oh my God, that is like the funniest damn thing. Next to Lee's joke about Joseph ever. Which Lee, we're still in the Christmas season. You should probably tell that joke.
No, we don't have time for that.
off the show, Lee will tell that joke. Right. Anyway, yes, that's to me, that's my favorite line. We lost 19 of our best guys.
You got a line, Ted?
I said it already about the droids.
Silly me. I could not come up with one for this. Because, I mean, there were a number of good movies this year, but none of them had a line of that caliber. So, I don't know. Before we get to our top five movies and stuff, did want to ask you guys this, because there's a lot of lists that are coming out that are doing the same thing we're doing. And several of them have Twin Peaks The Return on their list. And Todd and I have talked about this. It's not a movie. It's a mini series. I mean, because Roots wasn't nominated for Best Picture in 77. V wasn't nominated in 1984. What the hell is Twin Peaks doing on a best movie list?
Mm-hmm. They're British. They don't know what they're doing.
No, it's there was another one. I think Metacritic had it.
They're sad. Well, in that case,
The Marvelous a few Mrs. other places that I don't know.
The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is the best movie of the year in that case. So I'm really? Done.
All right.
Except it's an 8-episode series on Amazon. But, yeah, you know, okay. If it's on some kind of a screen, then I guess it's a movie.
Yeah. Well, that's, I thought that's, Stranger Things Season 2 was the best movie I've seen all year.
So, yeah, there you go. That's just beyond silly. It's not a movie if it's not screened in a movie theater. So
I wouldn't want to see a miniseries in a movie theater. Even with the new seats, they're not comfortable.
I would need a lot of popcorn and a catheter.
Oh, okay. So let's see. Some honorable mention movies, because I actually saw several this week that I thought, you know what? Before we do the top five list, I should see these. Pirates of the Caribbean, the fifth one. What was this? Dead Men Tell No Tales, which I thought was really stupid because it starts off with a zombie telling his story. And I'm like, no, see, dead men are telling tales right there before you even run the opening credits.
There you go.
Other than that, it was probably the second best of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Really?
And,
that's good.
And it finished the story. So hopefully we won't have any more. Everybody is happy at the end of the movie. They sail off into the sunset. Can we please be done?
Wait, so we're done with Johnny Depp?
No, I'm sure they're making a sixth one.
Oh. Okay.
But at the same time, this would have been a great place to end if they're going to.
Okay.
Hopefully they will. I haven't seen it. Nice. But yeah, I heard good reviews, and it's nice that they finished on a high, hopefully finished on a high note. And I trust your judgment in many things, although not a movie you're going to mention in a while. But anyway, that's okay.
Okay. Who's it? Kea, and I'm going to mispronounce the crap out of this name. Kea Scodeliaro, or whatever her name was in this movie. Very good actress. I'd like to see her in more stuff. Kind of like Nicole Kidman, only without the smarmy stuff. You know?
I mean, she wasn't married to Tom Cruise.
There's this air around Nicole Kidman of, I don't know what it is. It's just something that makes me go, ooh, don't like her. She looks like Nicole Kidman, but doesn't have that.
It's the oil slick left over from Tom Cruise. You just can't get rid of it.
Oh, my God.
And I wanted to ask you guys this, because I did not get a chance to see Murder on the Orient Express. Did any of you guys get to see it? Because
I did. I saw it.
Okay.
I didn't.
What's the point in remaking a whodunit if everyone knows who did it in the first movie?
Yeah, the movie was, I mean, it definitely wasn't great, but it wasn't awful. The actors are good enough in it to make it interesting. If somebody didn't know the story going in, I don't know. Even if they didn't know the story going in, it's kind of an obvious thing what happens at the end. But I mean, I still thought it was it great? No. Is it worth seeing at a matinee? Yes. I thought it was, like I said, the acting is good enough in it to keep it interesting.
It's Kenneth Branagh. He's almost always worth it.
Right.
I haven't seen the movie because basically what you're saying is kind of the reviews and the buzz I've heard is like, yeah, it's okay. And it's like, there are too many things to do to take the time to go see an okay movie right now. But yeah, and the original, I mean, it's 19, I had to look it up. I knew it was in the 70s, 1974. That's so long ago, and people don't read anymore. So most people who went to see this probably have never heard of Agatha Christie. So, you know, I don't think it's that big a deal.
Not knowing who Agatha Christie is.
So, yeah, apparently they liked it enough that they greenlit the sequel. So Death on the Nile will be out, I guess, in 2019. So, yeah, they can Google Agatha Christie and then find out, oh, she wrote stuff. Cool.
Oh, this is great.
Wasn't she in that Doctor Who episode?
She was. She was in a Doctor Who episode.
All right, so we've each got top five lists.
They had to go find her.
Of our favorite movies of this year. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first because I kind of cheated. I've paired mine. I have a top five list, but each is paired with another movie, which is similar. So I'm going to start with a similar film because we already talked about it, Spider-Man Homecoming. The superhero movie which is also one of my top five movies, which I thought was actually better, is Thor Ragnarok. It's a buddy film. It's a road film. Has more humor than any of the previous Marvel films. And it's about basically the end of an entire world, which is, oh, that's also kind of fun. One note, I think I might have mentioned this before, but just to repeat, the best, oh my God, that's the line. He's a friend from work.
There we go.
Yes, yes.
That line, it was actually written by a kid in one of the Make-A-Wish things.
Yeah.
That's
very cool.
That, and the fact that just a fan wrote that line, because I can't remember now if it was Chris Hemsworth or the director, but someone came, that was probably Hemsworth, came to visit the kid. And he said, you know, it'd be really cool if you said, wow. So a kid wrote the best line of the year. I love that. And the movie's great. Lady Bird, I'm sure Lady Bird will come up. There's a movie that's very similar to Lady Bird, actually came out sooner, which doesn't get nearly enough love.
Rushmore.
That came out a long time ago. The Edge of 17. Hardly anybody saw this movie. Yes, it did come out in 2017. Hailee Steinfeld, it is the coming-of-age film of a snarky teenage girl. But they're very different characters. And again, I want to reiterate, Edge of 17 came out first. Is it a better movie than Lady Bird? No, but I'm going to give it more love because everybody knows about Lady Bird. Edge of 17 is just, it's a great, great movie. Atomic Blonde, we talked about that. For me, the heist action flick, which is slightly better, is Baby Driver. Man, what an amazing film. And the fact that the soundtrack literally is another character, that's kind of incredible.
Yeah.
I talked about The Big Sick. So weird relationship comedies. I went with Colossal, another movie that practically no one has seen. The premise is Anne Hathaway is this alcoholic loser who has broken up with her boyfriend, and for some weird reason, she has connected with a gigantic kaiju in Korea. Everything she does, the kaiju does. But it's only in one little particular area in her hometown that she's gone back to visit. So she's walking around, and this kaiju, a gigantic monster, destroys the part of Seoul, Korea, every time she does anything. And finally, she realizes what's going on. And that is a completely bizarre premise, but it absolutely works. And it's a great movie. She's fantastic in it. Jason Sudeikis. He is in it, and he is a very interesting character. Has a lot of arc to the film. It's a really, really cool movie about relationships. And I'm going to close with The Shape of Water, which is another weird movie about relationships and how strange they can be. But to me, Blade Runner 2049 is the best science fiction of the year, because it deals – there are like five themes of Blade Runner 2049 that most people would take, okay, that's what we'll make a movie about. His relationship, his love interest, which is a computer program. That's a whole movie by itself, and it's just a sideline in this movie.
Didn't they just do that with a cell phone and
her? Yeah, her. But this subplot is better than her. Every subplot in this movie is better. And I know one of us this panel thought this is kind of a long, slow movie, but I loved it. I thought it's one of the best 10 science fiction movies ever.
Yes.
I think it's beautiful. It's an amazing movie. Anyway, that's me. Bye.
I liked Blade Runner. I just didn't care about any of the characters for the first 2 hours.
Yeah, but it's those last 45 minutes that gets you.
It's the last 45 minutes that are awesome. It just took us forever to get to them. On the bright side, I did wait until it was available to watch at home. Because I knew I was going to fall asleep, and I did. But I rewound it to watch and make sure that I got everything out of it, and I still didn't care for anyone. Even when Han Solo came out, and I went, no, you're 2 hours too late for me to care about you, Han.
Rob doesn't really like the original either, so.
Really?
I like both of them. They're
too slow.
Too
slow.
Long.
Rob is going Last Jedi on Blade Runner too.
I am. That's going to be our new thing. Going Last Jedi on something. I hate it, but I really liked it.
I give it 4 stars.
Yep, that's what happened.
You guys didn't like Logan? Nope. Oh, was that not 2017?
Logan's 2017.
Oh.
Talk about Logan if you're going to talk about Logan.
It felt like forever ago, though, didn't it?
It did.
Well, so did Beauty and the Beast, which was 2017.
Yeah, I think it was March. That's
yeah, it seems like it was 5 years ago. It's been a long year.
Yeah.
Not because of the movies either.
Unless you want to count the Oompa Loompa.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I went Marvel, Fox. I'll give the quick list. I won't give too much of a description because I know we're short on time.
No, time doesn't matter. It's a podcast.
Yeah. Oh.
We got till 5 o'clock tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Great.
We got till 4 o'clock today, actually. We got UW and we got Penn State, so we got till 4.
There you go.
That would matter if I lived in the South, Lee, as per
Penn State and UW. Closer to Penn State than I am.
He's talking about college football. They're unfamiliar with college football in New York because they don't understand that it's actually a sport.
Scarlett and I'm brain dead this morning. What the hell is UW?
It's University of Washington.
Of course it is.
Yeah. You got to remember, in New York, they have the model of the pinnacle of football achievement, the Jets and the Giants. So, you know.
Yeah, maybe.
And the Knicks, which is a different sport. But, and the Nets.
Logan. Oh, my God. Stop.
Sorry.
The movies that I really wanted to see. I'm not going to tell you if I was disappointed or not. I wanted to see Logan this year. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see The Dark Tower. I was really amped up to see it, and without reading any of the novels, I was kind of lost because of it just felt uneven. I was really excited. I mean, the bro movie was Thor Ragnarok. It's much of a retread. The movie I was really looking forward to was Last Jedi, and the best movie I've seen this year was Blade Runner 2049. That's it. Next.
I can go next.
Go, have fun, Lee.
So I have 36 films on my list. No, I'm just kidding. So
happening.
the first one I have is it's got Adam Driver in it, a character previous lost a hand. It's Logan Lucky. I loved heist films, and especially well-written and funny ones, and I thought this was fantastic. Adam Driver's great in it. Number four, I had Blade Runner 2049. I love the pacing. I just, you know, it was what it was. I thought, I know Rob didn't care, but I thought Gosling was great.
I liked it. It was just slow.
But it was great.
And number three was the way Christopher Nolan filmed Dunkirk was spectacular. He
let
the story tell itself. He didn't try to, I'm going to make you care about these two or three characters and really focus on them. It was the way he took it from them being on the beach to them getting off the beach, basically, and he let the historical facts sell the story. I think he did great with that. Number two, we've already talked about Three Billboards. And number one for me, you know, Frances McDormand is great, but I thought Saoirse Ronan is just fantastic in Lady Bird. She is the film. And if anybody hasn't seen Lady Bird, they should rush out and see it today. And that's the best film of 2017 to me, Lady Bird.
I have a list that is not going to be compatible with anyone else's.
Okay.
My Little Pony
no,
too.
Because I actually liked the Justice League movie. But I think I found out why it's not doing well. It's because it was made for comic fans who are familiar with the books.
Yes.
And not the general public.
Yes.
Because I watched it and I was, you know, going through the whole thing going, I get that. And no one else is going to get these because they don't read the books.
No one reads anymore.
Exactly.
Not even comic books, which is sad.
Number four, I actually had The Last Jedi. See, told you we liked it. Number three, a movie that Todd mentioned a couple times, although I have another story to go along with it, is The Big Sick. Because it was a remarkable movie, and I don't know if you guys saw this. It was the star and co-writer of the movie, Kumail Nanjiani. Am I pronouncing that right? Probably not.
Close enough.
Anyway, he sent out a tweet this past week that said, for those of you who want to watch The Big Sick and your families don't have Amazon Prime or can't afford to purchase it, the whole movie is for some reason available on Pornhub under interracial.
Wow.
Now, apparently Pornhub got back to him and said, We're trying to take it down. And he said, no, don't do that. Leave it there. Let them watch it over Christmas.
It is a sexy scene. There is a sexy scene in it. So there you go. Oh, my gosh.
Make
that's
of
amazing.
That what you wish. My number two movie, and I'm going to go against the Twin Peaks thing, because this was not in a theater, but it was a direct-to-DVD movie, was Justice League Dark.
Ah, nice pick.
Which, I really liked that. And apparently it's a big year for DC, because my top movie was one that I have not heard mentioned at all during this entire show, Wonder Woman.
Almost made my list.
We're an hour into the show and we haven't mentioned that yet. How the hell did that happen?
Because.
Well, every time I look up at my ceiling, I have Gal Gadot up there. So I'm
with your eyes closed
until
or
this
open.
Last week, it was the number two grossing movie of the year and nothing.
I like them more in Justice League. Because the way they shot her, you know,
Shot at her. She has those bracelets that deflect things.
Well, and Wonder Woman, she was shot a certain way, but on film. With Justice League, it was kind of, you could tell Zack Snyder versus Josh Whedon, he went kind of more for the skin flick, you know, kind of taking shots and stuff like that. We talked about this on a previous show. But we did, didn't we? Maybe we did.
I think so.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
On your show, actually, Ted.
Oh.
I liked Wonder Woman a lot. I think, to me, Wonder Woman kind of gets extra credit, especially this year, the Me Too year, because a female has basically saved Warner Brothers.
Yes.
Patty Jenkins.
Directed by a female.
Yeah, that's the female I'm talking about. I'm not talking about Wonder Woman. I'm talking Patty Jenkins, because she's the one who actually realized, oh, this is how you make comic book movies, as opposed to Zack frickin' Snyder. I liked Justice League. This is obviously the line of the year, but I liked it. Justice League goes in with Logan to me. Logan, to me, is a really good movie, but it could have been a great movie. And if they'd followed the comic book, you don't need the Hulk to follow. But if they'd followed the comic book, if Logan had been the one who did the bad thing, it would have had a lot more emotional depth, would have been a better movie. Yes. And to me, that was stupid for them to change that. Justice League, they should have done things a little differently to me. To me, there's no reason for the Justice League to be there because Superman handles everything by himself. So it's kind of like, okay,
the way they did it, they needed the League to bring him back.
No, they needed some fifth grade science kid project to bring him back. They didn't need the League to do that. You know, but that's the thing, that it could have been a better movie compared to what they've done in the past.
Right.
Yeah, it's a really good movie compared to the garbage that DC had been putting out for a couple of years, other than Wonder Woman. So back around, Wonder Woman is a really, really, really good movie. I'm not sure if I'd think it's great, but it's a really, really good movie.
Todd, which timeline did Logan follow? Was it the timeline right after Days of Future Past where he wakes up?
Ted, are you actually trying to make sense of the timelines of the X-Men movies? Are you crazy?
I'm lost because
we don't have that much crack to figure this out.
All
right.
There's no timeline. Come on now. There's no timeline anymore.
I'm sorry.
But it's who knows what the timeline is. It followed Old Man Logan from the comics, more or less. Other than that, it's like who knows.
I'll go ahead and throw this out too because we've gotten this far and we mentioned Spider-Man. We've mentioned Logan. Did anyone actually like Guardians of the Galaxy 2?
I didn't see it.
I didn't see it either.
Oh, I did. I like it a lot. I thought it's excellent. Just didn't make my top 10.
Okay.
To me, there have been a ton of good movies this year. I enjoyed it a lot. It compared to Thor, it's not quite as fun.
I didn't think so.
You know, but yeah, I liked it a lot. I thought it was good. Top 10? No, it's not my top 10, but...
Is Sylvester Stallone in the Marvel EU now?
Yes.
He doesn't have
perfectly miscast as Starhawk.
He doesn't have to be back though, and he probably won't be.
God.
Because
they kind of tried to throw the original Guardians of the Galaxy in at the end of the movie, and they're actually cast with people that we recognize, but at the same time, they're all rather miscast, and we don't need it.
Okay.
Just throwing that out.
There could have been. Could Guardians of the Galaxy 2 have been better? Yeah, it could have been better. Like Logan, for me, or like Wonder Woman. But is it a good movie? It's a really good movie. I did enjoy that quite a bit. And also, somehow I forgot about that, but another potential excellent line, I'm Mary Poppins, y'all.
I had thought of that. I even have it written down and thought, no, if that's the line of the year, boy, are we screwed.
It's not the line of the year, but in the context of the film, and if you guys haven't seen it, then it makes no sense. That's excellent. It is excellent. Oh, which totally forgot. I teased this thing about the not the best use of a song in a movie when we were talking about soundtracks.
Yes.
In Thor Ragnarok, the immigrant song, it's in the trailer, so everybody knows. And I thought, oh my God, that is so brilliant. And oh my, and they actually used it in the film. And it is incredible. It's like, it's one of the best. It's a huge battle sequence. And it's like the immigrant song in a movie about Thor. How freaking perfect. And like Rob said, when we first talked about this, who knows how many millions of dollars it took to pry the rights for that song, but it was absolutely worth it. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's just like an, oh my God moment. Love that part.
And that sounds like an upbeat note to end the show on, because I don't know that we're going to get any more upbeat than that.
Iron Maiden happening, double feature.
There we go.
Nice. One of them's good. One of them is not good.
Oh, no, we're going to start a fight again, aren't we?
No. Nobody likes the happening.
No, there's no fight. It's just the they both make you sad in very different ways.
Oh, jeez.
Ted, what were you going to say, Ted?
No, I was going to say I think that's great. Or, hey, do you guys want to talk about net neutrality, or that's another time, another show?
That sounds like your show. That sounds like a something serious thing, Ted. Downer.
Hey, what about AMC? What about AMC?
Yeah, AMC. AMC hates MoviePass.
Trying to steal more money from you.
Yeah,
and they're trying to do tiered seating, and you know what? Don't care. Tiered seat pricing or whatever.
Right. So it's going to cost you $5 extra or whatever for the nice seats.
No, but did you? Oh wait, AMC. I'm thinking of AMC. The
Pacer.
Yeah. Okay.
Boy.
Sorry.
Tiered seating and an AMC Pacer.
I'm like.
There. There we go.
Shotgun. No, that'll be an extra $25.95. No, don't do that.
I'll pay you $25 not to ride in an AMC Pacer. My sister actually had one. Yeah.
Station does The Walking Dead and
AMC.
Okay. Do you know that what they're trying to do is, I guess we pay $4 or $5 per month for their channel. If you pay $3 more, they won't show you commercials. So your hour show or 2 hour show, however, you know, the great shows that come on AMC will be reduced to 44 minutes if you pay them $3 or $4 more per month.
Yeah, they've done that. They've come out with that a while ago.
They did.
Yeah. Ad-free streaming for AMC. Yeah, the net. What did Google just block? Google blocked. Did they block Amazon Prime, or they just blocked?
Hub.
No, they'll never block Pornhub. That's where it's all net traffic comes from. And besides, how would you see the big sick?
So
we're about to see some interesting things because of net neutrality. So thanks for the downer, Ted. It's going to cost me $700 to get Pornhub now by the end of March.
Hey, I've got something on a happy note. Downsizing's pretty good. If you guys haven't seen
it. Oh, really?
Yeah. It's not a great by any stretch, but Matt Damon.
You realize how that sounded if you don't know that that's a movie, right?
That's funny.
There's a bunch of AT&T former employees who are going, hang on a minute.
Yeah, that's right.
That's pretty good.
Well,
it's not great, but that's pretty good to get downsized.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it gives you a lot of free time to see films. But it's downsizing. It's like I said, it's definitely not great, but it's definitely worth seeing. And it's definitely worth seeing even if you go in the evening and see it. Matt Damon hits on a bunch of women. They don't like it. And I think that's the plot of the film. So it's fantastic. So he gets downsized from Ocean's 8. I think that's the whole point.
Hey, one last thing.
I thought that was Mark Wahlberg. Anyway.
Rob, you didn't want to talk about Batman in the Arrowverse?
They've mentioned him on Arrow. it was a recent episode where they said, "Oh, Oliver Queen, you must be Arrow." And he goes, "No, wouldn't that be kind of like Bruce Wayne showing up and putting on a hood and going, 'Ooh, look at me, I'm a superhero.' No, that doesn't happen." And everyone watching kind of went, "Did you just say Bruce Wayne?"
Nice. Okay.
Who, by the way, is going to be popping up in the Titans series.
Oh.
In flashback form.
Okay.
So, more Batman on the way, and it's not going to be Ben Affleck, because I can't see him doing a TV show on a streaming network that may or may not exist.
Yeah, probably not.
Is he done?
I hope not. I actually liked him in Justice League and thought...
I don't know.
The opening scene of the movie where we've got Batman catching just a generic guy burgling a house, even though I recognize the actor and can't place him at the moment. I saw that and went, just, you know, 2 hours of this would make a great Batman movie.
Yeah.
And even if it is just Affleck. And I'm good with that. I liked him as Batman. Let's see more.
I like him a lot as Batman. Absolutely. But, you know, as to whether we're going to see more Batfleck, I don't know. What day is it? Seems like every three days they change their minds. Or the internet changes its mind.
Or the internet changes Ben Affleck's mind.
Could be, too.
Or something like that. Hopefully we'll see more Batfleck soon.
All right.
Which is an odd way of saying it. Anyway, you'll be seeing more of us next year, which is actually, what, 2 days from now? But hopefully we can get Lee and Ted to come back and we'll do more of this Cinema Savant thing. Until then, have a happy new year, everybody.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engines.
I think we should be leaving now.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
And on that unusually harmonious bombshell, it is time to end.
I am very disappointed!
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
And like that, he's gone.
Darn, that's the end.